Amen. Give God a praise clap this morning. You can have a seat. You know, I love a church that's reaching young families and reaching children because you step up to the pulpit and there's a pacifier waiting for you. I'm not going to read into that any at all. It's Nathan's. All right, here you go, bud. It's all yours. There you go. So, you know, I won't read into that at all, that there was a pacifier left for me on my pulpit this morning. But don't you love it? Wasn't it just beautiful to see these children dedicated to the Lord today? Man, that blessed me in a great way. You know, today's Mother's Day, 2015. And, you know, Mother's Day, believe it or not, is always a challenge to preach. It's always a challenge to preach on Mother's Day because not everybody in your crowd is a mama. Not everybody's a mama. You know how I know that? I'm not a mama, okay? I'm a father, but I'm not a mama. I'm not a mother. So, you know, you approach the text on Sunday morning to think about, you know, what is the right message for the people that are there at that moment, at that time, to hear from God's Word. So the Lord led me this week to a passage of Scripture about a wise woman. I love preaching about some of the women in the Bible. And, you know, some of the men right now are thinking, oh, my goodness, here I am on Mother's Day. There's flowers everywhere. There's babies everywhere. There's just mooey, gooey stuff. I'm ready to check out of here. So I thought I would help all the men and women out today by preaching a sermon entitled A Wise Woman. That's for the ladies. And A Severed Head. That's for the men in the house today, okay? A Wise Woman and A Severed Head. So, Mother's Day at Life Community Church, we're talking about decapitations this morning. So that's just kind of how we roll. But a really neat story that's kind of obscure in the Bible. It's kind of obscure, but it's in there. And to give you some framework, this is many years before Jesus. This is when King David was on the throne. And King David, it was towards the end of David's life. And towards the end of his life, there was a guy, there was actually several guys that kind of rose up and tried to overtake the throne from David. And one of those guys was a man by the name of Sheba. And Sheba sparked a rebellion in the kingdom of David towards the latter part of his life. And David basically sends a group of people to go get him, you know, to stop him. Because, see, David was God's man for the throne. The Bible had, the Lord had already spoke to David and said, you know, there will always be a king sitting on David's throne. And see, that was a prophetic word because Jesus would be in the line of King David. So Jesus would be the king that would resurrect and then sit at the right hand of God forever and ever. So the kingship of David was very special. So when somebody tried to usurp the kingship of David, it was a big deal. So we go into 2 Samuel chapter 20. We're going to look at verses 1 through 3, then jump down to 14. The Bible says, "Now a wicked man, a Benjamite named Sheba, son of Bichri, happened to be there. He blew the ram's horn and shouted, 'We have no portion in David, no inheritance in Jesse's son. Each man to his tent, Israel.' So all the men of Israel deserted David and followed Sheba, son of Bichri, by... But the men of Judah from the Jordan all the way to Jerusalem remained loyal to their king." So this is a guy, he rises up, he says, "We want nothing to do with David." Blows the horn, let's cite a rebellion. He takes away the majority of the tribes. Just a few of the tribes are left. There's just the tribe of Judah is remaining loyal to David. You go down to verse 14. "Sheba passed through all the tribes of Israel to Abel of Bethmaachah, and all the Beerites came together and followed him." Now, Joab's troops, Joab was David's man. He was kind of the commander of David's army. He's kind of General Patton, so to speak, of the army. And Joab's troops came and besieged Sheba and Abel of Bethmaachah. They built an assault ramp against the outer wall of the city. While all the troops with Joab were battering the wall to make it collapse, a wise woman called out from the city, "Listen, listen, please tell Joab to come out here and speak with me." When he had come near her, the woman asked, "Are you Joab?" "I am," he replied. "Listen to the words of your servant," she said to him. He answered, "I'm listening." She said, "In the past they used to say, 'Seek counsel in Abel.' And that's how they settle disputes. I'm a peaceful person and one of the faithful in Israel. But you're trying to destroy a city that is like a mother in Israel. Why would you devour the Lord's inheritance?" Joab protested, "Never. I don't want to destroy. That's not my intention. There is a man named Sheba, son of Bichri, from the hill country Ephraim, who has rebelled against King David. Deliver this one man, and I will withdraw from the city. The woman replied to Joab, all right, his head will be thrown over the wall to you. The woman went to all the people with her wise counsel, and they cut off the head of Sheba, son of Bichri, and threw it to Joab. So he blew the ram's horn. They dispersed from the city, each to his own tent. Joab returned to the king in Jerusalem, and the rebellion was over. God, may you bless the word of God. And we pray today that, Lord, that you would, Lord, search our hearts for things that don't belong. And God, that you would remove those. Jesus, help us to be loyal to you at all times. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we pray this in your name. Amen. So this guy named Sheba rises up against King David, and he blows the horn. He makes a big to-do about it. He says, let's get out of here. We want nothing to do with David. Let's go do it our own way. So obviously David responds. He sends the military after Sheba, and Sheba's going through kind of all the towns, and he's kind of causing a scene. He's trying to rally support, and he goes to one town called Abel, the city of Abel. And now, we don't know much about this city of Abel. We don't really know much about it except for just the story. We know a couple of things. It was a fortified city, which means that it had a wall around it. It had like a fortress around it. And we also know that somehow in the Israelite culture, this place was historically known for a place of wisdom. It was a place that if you had a dispute, you'd maybe go to the people that lived in this city and they could help figure out who was right, who was wrong. The city was notoriously known for being wise. But the city made a very foolish mistake. A city that was known for wisdom did something dumb. They let in a rebel against the kingship of David, and they let him into that city. Now, we don't know if they were just trying to say, let's just try to work it out. Let's all hold hands and sing kumbaya. Maybe David will come down here. We can hug each other a little bit, and Sheba and him can, you know, go in the room and have some quiet time and work it out. That's not how they did it back then. They lobbed heads off back then, okay? So not exactly how they did it. But maybe that's what they were thinking, that maybe they could just work it out. But there was a big problem. See, the kingship of David was ordained by God. It was special. It was holy. This would be the Messiah would come through the lineage of David. So look at your blank there. See, a rebel threatened the kingdom or the kingship of David. It was God ordained. But this was a God ordained thing that Sheba was rebelling against. Y'all with me on that? So when he spoke up against David, who else is he speaking up against? God. This is a big deal. And the Bible describes Sheba as a wicked man. There was no godliness in this guy. He was in it for himself. He wanted to become a leader in his own right. He wanted to cause problems. He wanted to cause dissension. He wanted to cause anarchy within the kingdom. So he runs and tries to get a following, lands in Abel. Of course, the military comes after him. And they come to the city, and they just don't play around. I mean, David's dudes are like gladiators on steroids. You know what I mean? I mean, these are tough dudes. And they are battering the wall. And some theologians, as I was studying this week, said that some of them may have been even digging underneath the wall, which would have caused the wall to eventually collapse. Well, the walls in those days was a security system, basically. It's how you kept your city safe. You built a wall around it. So they were going to go in and get this guy. But in the process, they didn't care. They were going to get him if the wall remained intact or if the wall came tumbling down. Well, sure enough, they're sitting there beating this wall down. They're trying to get it out, and this woman appears. Now, isn't it interesting? We don't know a thing about her. She just appears. The Bible says she's a wise woman. We don't know hardly anything about her. But she stands up, and she says, what are you doing? Why are you destroying our wall? You're going to kill everybody. And she says, go get me Joab. And Joab comes and says, what's the problem? She says, well, you're beating my house down. That's the problem. You know, what's going on? He says, well, you got a rebel in there. You got a traitor in there. And he needs to go. She says, well, this is a place of peace. This is a place where we settle disputes, not like this. But if this is what you say, we've got to do something about it. We don't know her name. She speaks up for the city. She calls the city a mother to Israel, implying that this city has given great wisdom. Wisdom. It's a mother-like city. So in the process of them harboring a rebellion, they're threatening a lot. They're threatening the stability. you got to listen. You can't just take out a mama. By the way, men, you need wisdom on Mother's Day. Amen. You know, if you didn't buy your wife flowers or your mama flowers, you really need wisdom today. Amen. You know, you really need wisdom. I learned that lesson a few years ago. So this Mother's Day, guess what I did? I didn't buy my wife flowers. I bought her a tree. I was just going to make sure it was okay. You know what I mean? So we got a tree. We were just going to make sure it was okay. But yeah, you don't take out a mama. And this city was like a mama to Israel. And if they were to destroy it, they would lose a lot of greatness. So this wise woman, she speaks up. She says, you know, you're going to destroy something that's good. You know, the reality is when we let Shebas into our lives, they can cause a lot of problems. Now, a Sheba, let me just classify this. This is, a Sheba would be something that is rebellious to God, that is not of the Lord. Let's think of Sheba as some sort of sin that creeps his way into our life. He comes into our walls, into our hearts, into our gates, and he doesn't like Jesus. He doesn't like God-ordained things. He likes himself. He likes to cause problems. He likes to rebel against the Lord. And in many ways, just like the real Sheba threatened the kingship of David, today the Shebas in our lives threatens a lot of stuff. See, God's design is at play here. Is God's design for my life being threatened by rebellion? There's your blank. Is God's design for my life being threatened by rebellion? See, when we let junk into our lives, it's like letting a sheep inside of our gates. See, God has a design for every area of your life, for your marriage, for your family, for your children, for your neighborhood that you live in, and all kinds of things. But the problem is that design, that original plan, was compromised many, many years ago when Adam and Eve sinned against God. And the great fall happened and sin came into the world. So we ask a question, why is there hardship in the world? Why is there suffering in the world? Why is there evil in the world? And it's a complex answer, but yet here's a simple version, is that we have free will and we have chosen against God and we live in a world that has made choices of choosing against God. So as a result of that, God's design for the world, for our lives and everything is compromised by rebellion. See, when we allow rebellion into our hearts, our marriages are at stake. Our children are at stake. Our churches are at stake. A rebellion will always cause chaos. It will always cause confusion. And it will cause catastrophe in your life. When we say yes to the things that are not of God, we're saying yes to hardship. We're saying yes to disaster. Sin is a deadly, deadly thing. And when we play with sin and when we think that we can control sin or that it's okay, we are fooling ourselves. You know, I know some of you guys like are snake people. Anybody snake people in the house today where you got those things in your house and that sort of thing? I'm going to pray for you if you do, okay? You know, Kenny Rager's not a snake guy, all right? When I see snakes, I don't get the spirit. I run with the spirit is what I do. And, you know, and sometimes you hear these stories of people raising these big pythons as or these boa constrictors as pets. And, you know, they love it, they feed it, they care for it. And then one day the thing kills them in their sleep. Why? Because at the end of the day, the nature of that snake is what? It's still what? A snake at the end of the day. And when we let these things into our life that look innocent, but God says no to, you know what happens? We're letting these baby pythons into our life. They can strangle us and kill us in our sleep. And that's dangerous. And God won't bless a life that's harboring sin. God won't bless a life that's saying yes to the things that God says no to. He won't bless it. Now, let me just throw in a note really quick. I want you to be very clear in what I'm saying. I'm not saying that if you're faithful to God, you'll never have sickness, you'll always have a bunch of money in your bank account, or that you will never experience tragedy. That's just simply not so. That's not what I'm saying today. Don't interpret me as saying that if you live for God, you'll never get sick, you'll never have disaster, you'll never have calamity, okay? But what I am saying is this, is that when you hold on to sin, God won't bless that. He won't bless a life that's in rebellion to Him. Now, I'm very thankful today for God's grace. Anybody else today? that when we've held on to sin, God has been merciful to forgive us through the blood of Jesus Christ and to give us grace and mercy. But I'm telling you, when you hold on to sin and you refuse to acknowledge sin in your life, especially as a Christian, you're asking for trouble. You're asking for trouble. So today, I want us to get wise on Mama's Day today. I want us to get wise and to confront spiritual rebellion. We need wisdom to confront spiritual rebellion when it sneaks up in our heart. Three things the wise can do quickly today. Three things. First, the wise cry out for clarity. If you want to get wise today about confronting rebellion in your life, begin to cry out for clarity. Look what the woman did in verse 16. She saw that they were hitting the wall. She said, listen, go get Joab. I want to talk to him. She identifies the source. She knows that she's got to find the leader. If she doesn't do this, the wall's going to fall down. This great city that's known as a mother in Israel is going to collapse. And I ask a question, where were the men in the city? I don't know. Where were the leaders in the city? We're never told she's a leader or holds any kind of office. I don't know. All I know is that she was wise. And all I know is this, is that a wise woman saved that city. A wise decision saved that city. And that began with her finding the source and asking what the problem was. Today, when we are experiencing hardship or we're experiencing sin in our life, it would be very wise for us to get on our knees and cry out to God and ask Him what's going on. It would be very wise for us to humble ourselves before the Lord and to pray a prayer like David prayed in Psalms 139. He says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns." We would be wise every day before we went to bed to say, "Lord, search me tonight. Is there anything in me right now that's not pleasing to you? Is there something that I'm doing, something I'm participating in, something that I'm living in right now that takes your hand of blessing off of me?" Again, I'm not saying if you live for God, you're going to be having Rolexes, you're going to be having Bentleys magically appearing in your driveway, or you're going to never get sick. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about walking in the ways of the Lord. Y'all with me, church? But He won't bless you if you're living in sin. He won't bless you if you're living in sin. You know, I can't tell you how many times people will say, "Oh, Kenny, you know, me and my boyfriend or my girlfriend, we're living together. And, you know, we've been shacked up for a long time, but we want you to come marry us and ask God to bless us." And I say, "You want me to ask God to bless you while you're living in sin? That makes no sense." And now all the air in this room just went. Whoop. Happy Mother's Day. Amen. But we do that, don't we? We want God to bless us while holding on to our sin. Makes no sense. What we should do is get on our knees before the Lord, just like this wise woman did. What's the problem? What's the problem? What's going on? Lord, speak into me. Lord, show me what's causing problem. There's two ways that we figure out the answer. Through times of intense prayer, where we're praying before God, and through the Word of God. Amen? We believe the Bible at this church. From Genesis to Revelation, we're unashamed of that. I believe it to be God's truth. And here's the deal. When you need a word from God, you got 66 books of the Bible full of a bunch of words. Open it up and read it. You're going to get a word from God. When we turn to God's Word and we read God's Word, He's going to reveal stuff to us. And you know what? Listen, sometimes His truth is hard. Amen? You know, when we give Gracie medicine, she kicks and screams and spits. And anybody else? Am I the kids the only ones that do this? You know, you got to like talk about the pythons. You got to like wrap your arms around them, you know, twist their ear and do all this stuff. And then Mama still does the train. Choo, 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 choo. And here's Dad just, you know, and stick it in their mouth. They hate the medicine, but they need the medicine. Amen, church? Oh, man. Sometimes we don't go to God's Word and we don't ask God for clarity. Why? Because we hate the medicine. Amen? we hate the medicine. God might read our email a little bit. So the wise cry for clarity, but second, the wise see the sin. Look there in those verses of 17 through 21. Let me just rephrase it for time. Joab explains, and he says, you got a guy in there that needs to go. You got a guy in there that needs to leave. And she says, you deliver him, we're out of here. City stays safe. She says, all right, I'll give you his head. They acknowledge that Sheba was a poison. They acknowledge that Sheba was doing something. And then they realize something else. Sheba and David, not compatible. You can't keep Sheba while you keep David. Not compatible. They couldn't hold hands and sing kumbaya with Sheba. It wasn't going to happen. This was wartime. This was rebellion. So what did they have to do? They had to identify and agree with Joab that Sheba was a problem. When we get before the Lord and say, God, search our hearts, look into us, and he reveals sin into our life, we must be ready to agree with God. We must see it as sin. There's a big problem in our culture today where we will take what God's word says, and instead of believing what it says, we want to contextualize it with how we feel. And let me explain what I mean by that. Well, I know the Bible says that, but I feel this way about it. Therefore, because I feel this way, it must be truth rather than the Bible. Here's the reality. I can eat a bologna sandwich at midnight, go to bed, and I will feel a certain way in about 2 or 3 hours. Right? The truth is, I shouldn't be eating bologna sandwiches at midnight. I do sometimes, but it happens, all right? But here's the deal. The way we feel never trumps the Word of God. Feelings do not overthrow what the Word of God says. So when society begins to say, we feel like this is not a sin, but the Word of God says it is a sin, do you go with your feelings or do you go with the Bible? Today we would be wise if we went with the Bible. And man, that's not PC, is it? That's not politically correct. That's not holding hands and singing kumbaya, is it? And I just want to tell you, I heard a sermon a couple weeks ago about this. And man, I just preaching this, might as well throw it out there. Amen. You know, churches that continue to take the stances that they take, that the Word of God is truth, and they preach the Word of God, we are going to find ourselves in a lot of trouble in the next few years. Y'all know that, right? Now, it's not going to be like ISIS cutting our heads off, okay? Even though this is entitled a severed head sermon, okay? It probably won't be like that, but it's probably your pastor getting fined. That's probably what it'll be. And it will probably also be that your tax exemption status will be revoked. So when you give financially to a church, it will not be written off on your taxes. So you guys are going to have to make the decision right here and there, right now, to say, am I going to give to God what's God's and to Caesar's what's Caesar's? Amen, church. Me and my family will give to Caesar's what's Caesar's, but we're also going to give to God what's God's. That's the decision my family's going to make. I'm going on record saying that. Amen. But we must be willing to see the sin, not play around with it, not pretend like it's not sin, but to see it. Finally, the wise repent of rebellion and recognize the real king. They repent of the rebellion and recognize the real king. So she says, all right, you're out, you'll get his head. You can have it. The woman went to all the people, verse 22, and with their wise counsel, look, she told the people in wisdom, get the head of Sheba and throw it over to Joab. So he blew the ram's horn, they dispersed, and they did it. You know, what a great Mother's Day present. Here's a severed head over the wall, you know? Plop when it lands. I mean, did they catch it? Did they use a baseball mitt? What did they do? You know, I don't know. They lobbed the head, a bloody head, over the wall, and they were happy, weren't they? They all blew their horn. They went back, and the kingdom of David lived happily ever after. Not really, okay? It still has some hardships, but they had a head of a rebel. What am I saying? Sheba and David's don't mix. The Spirit of God and sin doesn't mix. When you give your life to Jesus, He's going to spend the rest of your life weeding junk out of you. Did you know that? The rest of your life weeding it out of you. That is a Bible term called sanctification. It means that the saint is looking more like Jesus every day. See, the reason when you get saved, you don't go to heaven immediately, is because God's got you on this earth to learn what it's like to live like Jesus. So every day He's pulling that junk out of you. Now, I'm not saying your salvation is infringed upon that. You're saved by grace and grace alone. But in the process of you living in grace, He's weeding it out of you. Does that make sense? He's getting it out of you every day. Every day you should look a little bit more like Jesus than you do right now. Every day you should look more like Jesus than you did yesterday. A little bit more like Jesus than you did yesterday, because God's given you another day of life. So what happens? We need to recognize the rebellion. Say, you know what? This thing in my life is not of God and it's got to go. And then I got to recognize the real King. The real King is Jesus. He's the one seated on the throne. And I recognize the King this morning. I recognize the King who rightfully sits on the throne, who shed His blood for me, who died and rose again. I recognize Him as the King of my life, who gave me grace, who gave me forgiveness. And I want Jesus to have first place in my life. And you know what that involves sometimes? It involves cutting off some heads of Sheba's. You know, you can't do that without getting a little messy, can you? Oh, but that's why the Spirit of God is in our lives. The Spirit should be doing surgery on us every day. He is on me. Is He doing surgery on anybody else today? See, He's cutting that spiritual cancer out of us every day. And He's lobbing it over a wall. For what purpose? To restore the design that God has for your life. To restore the plan that He has for your life. He's cutting the junk out of your life. Now see, Sheba was only a flash in the pan. And really, this story is almost forgotten about. People don't even know this. Anybody heard this story for the first time today? All right, a couple of you did. But this was a real threat in that day and age. It was a real threat. And many of us today, listen, wouldn't many of us today be in a much better position if we would have done what Mama told us to do a couple of years ago? Anybody? Yeah? Couple of us be in a better position if we would have listened to Mama. Remember, I'm gonna connect to my older crowd. Remember our three dog night brethren? Mama told me not to come, you know? Mama told me not to come. We'd be better, right? We'd be better. But here's the deal. We don't listen to Mama all the time. We don't listen to God. But today the Spirit is speaking. Do you hear Him in your heart? Do you hear Him raising up some Shebas and identifying some sin in your life? And saying, as a child of God, that's got to go. That's got to go. Because you're my child. That's got to go. I got to cut that out of you so you can look more like Jesus today. So I got one question for you. And I'm done. This is the very last one. Who am I allowing inside my walls? A Sheba? Or the Spirit of God? Who am I letting inside? A rebellious spirit or the Holy Spirit of God? Today I want the Spirit of God in my life. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? Maybe today you've never given your life to Jesus Christ. Today, if you've never given your life to Christ, you are the Sheba. You are the one in rebellion today. But I want you to know something. As graphic as this sermon might have been, the Lord doesn't handle us by cutting our heads off when we're in sin. That's not how He handles us. That's not how He treats us. He doesn't do violence to us to get us to change our ways. Actually, it's kind of the other way around. It was Jesus who took violence for us. He took the nails. He took the crown of thorns on His head. 2,000 years ago, He took all that pain for us so that our sin could be thrown over the wall as far as the east is from the west. And that's the good news of Jesus. He's not out today to just yell at you. So this is about spiritual health. This is about forgiveness and redemption. It's about accepting Christ and what he did for you, letting him change you. This is good news. This is good news. But as long as we're on that side of the fence and we don't let Christ in our lives, we live in danger of all that sin can do. So we must trust in Christ as our Savior. If today you're ready to open up your heart for the very first time and say, Jesus, come into my life, get rid of my sin. I accept and I believe in Jesus for the very first time. Would you just pray this prayer with me right now? Just bow your head, close your eyes and pray it. Dear God, I'm a sinner. I need Jesus. I believe you died for me. And you came back to life. Forgive me of my sin. And thank you for saving me. I pray in the name of Jesus. With heads still bowed and eyes still closed, I wonder today, is there anybody today that prayed that for the very first time? Did you raise your hand and say, I did that, amen, I see you. Anybody else? Anybody else today? I wonder how many Christians today may be struggling. You're saved. You're saved by grace, not by works. But God's in the process of tuning you and refining you. I wonder if God brought a Sheba to your mind today that's got to go. Out of curiosity, raise your hand if you said, God showed me a Sheba today. Amen. Amen. Well, then be obedient. Let the Spirit of God remove that from your life. Ask Him for help and say, I need King Jesus to get that out of my life. I acknowledge that it's sinful. I don't want to live in that. Jesus, you come and help me. Today we can come to the altar and pray. Come to the cross. A couple of our deacons will pray with you if you want them to. I'll pray with you. Maybe you accepted Jesus. I want you to come and profess your faith. So, Father, we love you. And we thank you for all that you've done. And Jesus, today, move in spirit and truth. We pray in your name. Amen. Would you stand as we sing? You can respond now if God's...